With Steve Scherer, I'm Ross Reynolds. As the school year comes to an end, a lot of students might find themselves thanking their teachers for a job well done. And some students might actually mean it. Quinton Morris did. Morris is a concert violinist as well as a respected music teacher at Seattle University. He told Marcy Selman that he owes his entire career to a teacher.
Was your family musical?
No, not at all. My mom kind of dabbled in piano a little bit, but I learned in the public school system. So,
and why violin?
A friend of mine played violin, and so I just said, all right, I'll choose violin too. I meet so many different artists, and they say, you know, I knew when I was three. I knew when I saw Isaac Stern on television that I wanted to be a violinist. That wasn't my experience. My experience was purely from kind of peer influence. Other people in class chose instruments, and they chose violin. So I did what everyone else kind of did and actually liked it. Everyone else quit, and I stuck with it.
You weren't intending, I think, at that point to be a professional musician.
No, not at all. I always wanted to become a lawyer, actually. And I remember being a child and being obsessed with L.A. Law and Blair Underwood. That was one of his first gigs.
And, it was.
And just saying, wow, I want to be just like that, because I was always fascinated with literature and political science. And actually, to be honest with you, I remember in the sixth grade, and this is back in the days when everyone had a library card to the public library, you know, I remember going there and checking out books on law. Like, yeah, sixth grade.
I'm speaking with Quinton Morris, who did not become an attorney. He became a violinist. But you played, you took lessons, you still like violin, but yeah. You went to Xavier. Which Xavier did you go to?
New Orleans.
New Orleans Xavier.
Yeah.
And studying pre-law, but still taking violin lessons?
Still took violin lessons, loved the instrument, loved classical music. My sophomore year of college there, I met a violinist there who really inspired me. She was African-American and just Rachel Jordan, and really inspired me. And music just, she told me that I had an opportunity to make it in music, but I had to work real hard, and the rest is history.
Well, you mentioned Rachel and you mentioned Blair Underwood. And so there, when you were young, you saw this African-American lawyer, even though he was an actor, but yeah. Not a lot of African-American classical musicians, right?
No, not a lot of African-American lawyers. I mean, even actors during that time, or classical musicians, especially violinists. So I think just I was influenced by people who looked like me. It's just kind of brought me to where I am now.
I know that a lot of kids of any race who take up music are not thinking about classical music as their top choice. But I would imagine if you don't see a lot of people that look like you playing a particular type of music, then you're even more likely to just pass it by.
Yeah, I agree. And I think studying with Rachel Jordan during that time, she made it just seem so cool. And I remember her telling me when I was thinking about making the switch from law to music, she said, you know that you can make it as an artist, and you know that this is for you if you can't live without it. And I can't. There are a lot of artists out there who can live without art. There are a lot of musicians who can live without music. They enjoy it, but it's not like ingrained within them. And I knew for me, and I still feel this way today, I can't live without music.
You had the luck to have an incredibly inspirational teacher, it sounds like. How much did that influence you to want to teach?
Lots. Because I learn, I think, more about myself and more about the music making and just the mechanics of the instrument by teaching other people.
How much pressure do you put on yourself to be the role model that you were looking for when you were a kid?
I think that I place a lot of pressure on myself. I always tell my students I'm 10 times harder on myself than I am on you. I try to be the best role model that I can be for my students. I try to lead by example. The accomplishments and also the setbacks that I've had in my life have been a nice of display of what it takes to be a successful musician.
What kind of setbacks have you had?
Oh.
I mean, you're pretty young, and then you're chairing a department. You have had a solo career. You've been on Carnegie Hall. You've traveled around the world.
Oh, man. Lots of setbacks. I don't think what I'm saying is any different from any other successful artist. I mean, rejections from winning competitions, rejections from, I mean, when I was a student, rejections from schools, you lose auditions, rejections from fellowships, rejections from colleagues, rejection from yourself, feeling like you're not good enough, feeling like you're not talented enough, all those insecurities and those demons that not just artists or musicians have, but just people in general have. And I share those experiences with my students because I think in academia, there's kind of this expectation that the professor is perfect and or the professional musician is perfect and everything is just gold and the life that they live is just amazing and it's fantasy and no, it's real life. I get rejections and I get turned down from things and I have my insecurities and I think all of those make me as well as anyone else in this world, I think it helps creates our DNA as artists.
How much does race factor into some of those rejections?
I try not to look at it as race.
I guess what I'm asking you is the classical world racist?
Is the classical music racist? I think that there are racist people, but not just in classical music, but everywhere. But I like to believe that there are more good people in this world than bad. So regarding race, I always just try to focus on the music and the skill rather than on the color of my skin or the color of anyone else's skin.
Given all the stuff that you've just talked to me about, what do you do when you're not making music or teaching music or talking about music?
Or listening to music. Oh, man, an array of things. I am a triathlete. Last summer, one of my colleagues, she did all women's triathlon. And I'd always heard about them, but I really didn't know kind of what they were. And so I went and I was so inspired by seeing all these women. And so I said, I want to do that. But there was just one problem. I didn't know how to swim. And when I say I didn't know how to swim, I couldn't put my face under the water.
So you learned how to swim this year.
I learned how to swim. And I learned how to swim in about 6.5 weeks. And then I did my first triathlon.
So when's the next triathlon? When do we come and cheer for you?
Beginning of June.
Violinist and music professor Quentin Morris. He spoke to our colleague Marcy Silman. This summer, Quentin is overseeing a program at Seattle University called Tuned In. It's for kids 12 and up.